The reading is taken from Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 9, and you'll find it on page 606 of your pew Bibles. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name, or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Father, by your Holy Spirit, give us understanding of those things we need to know, and grace and peace to leave with you some of the things we don't. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Last week, Gavin was preaching about Christ the King, and he was saying how this was his favourite Sunday in the year. And I have to confess that this is my favourite Sunday. I love Advent. I love the idea that Advent brings of Christ coming to be with us. It's a time when we focus on him coming to us, but we miss so much if we follow what the shops suggest we do and just make it a countdown to Christmas. Have you done your cooking? Have you done your cards? Have you done your all the other things? And when we read the readings that are set for today, we realise there's so much more about Advent than just that doing all the practical things to get ready for Christmas. Of course we want to be ready for Christmas, and that's part of the preparation for Advent. Not just the practical things. We want to be ready to celebrate it in the right way of Jesus coming to be with us. We want to be ready to and prepared to meet with Jesus day by day. Yes, it's about him coming at Christmas, but it's about him coming to us day by day by day. And we need to be ready and know how to recognize him in those days. And as our readings tell us, it's about his coming again. And that's a difficult thing. But we need to be prepared with each of those thoughts in mind. So how do we get ready to celebrate Christmas as we should, with all the busyness? Gavin mentioned this little book. Let me read something from it. It's very good. Take one when you go. It's a good thing. Sometimes we stop because we reach the end of our resources. At other times, it's because we discover the gift of silence and stillness. Or maybe we simply realize there's too much else getting in the way. Whatever the reasons, stopping is a gift, and it's often a new beginning. In fact, there's very little we can do to grow personally and spiritually unless we first make the choice to stop. It's the place of prayer, and it's where we meet with God. So in the busyness, we need to make those times of stopping. I remember when, I can't remember which parish it was in, but David decided we all needed to do a course on time management. I'm not quite sure how much it did for us, but anyway, I remember one thing very distinctly they told us. They said, how much time do you spend with interruptions and the unexpected? When you live in a vicarage, there's quite a lot of those. And we sort of tried to estimate and add it up. Write that time down in your diary as a gap. You don't know when they're coming, but when they've come and stopped you doing something, you've got space left in your diary to do the things you wanted to do when the... See what I mean? So I'm suggesting to myself as well, to everybody, this Advent, pop in our diaries, time with God. 10 minutes, 5 minutes, an hour, whatever you feel able. But pop some times in our diary just to be with God and to think seriously about our relationship with him. There's another thing. Dear Peter Coombs, every Advent and every Lent, he selects a series of books that are appropriate to the season. And they are at the back of church, I think, just at the back. And there's some very good books there. Pick one up. You just sign it out and then you sign it back when you've finished with it. Read something special for Advent. That's another way of us getting into this season of expecting to meet with Jesus. Go to something different. Go to a different service. Something that just sparks our minds to think differently. These sort of things all help us to think bigger about our relationship with God. Because what an amazing thing it is we are celebrating at the end of Advent. This is one of my favourite carols, and I prod David every year, make sure it's in there somewhere. I think it is somewhere. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendour, all for love's sake became so poor, thrones for a manger did surrender, sapphire-paved courts for stable floor, Thou who wast rich beyond all splendour, all for love's sake, became so poor. It's picture language, of course, but we get the idea. What he left, because he loved us so much, he didn't want to leave us alone. He wanted to come and be with us. What an amazing thing that is, and how worth celebrating. So let's prepare properly for Christmas. Do your cards and do your cakes as well, but make sure we make time for him in amongst it all. This little book finishes at Christmas. My Advent book that I'm reading finishes with Epiphany. But we don't have to let it finish there. Let's say that we will go on expecting to meet him in the new year, right the way through the year, because he does come to us day by day. And Jesus says to us in that reading, that the gospel reading, keep alert. Therefore, keep awake. Keep awake. Be ready for when he might appear to us or come to us. So how can we be ready for that? Well, one reason that I find helpful is daily Bible reading. David and I usually start the day with a verse or two from Scripture and some thoughts about it. I must confess, I find it easier now we're retired than I did to do it regularly when we were working. But just the idea of having that we look at some Scripture and we think about God at some point in each day helps us to know him better, and that's what it's all about. Acknowledging him all day, learning more about him so that we recognize him in the people we meet, in Waitrose when we stop and have a natter, over coffee in the hall. We may be surprised how we meet up with God at these times and through other people, through an act of love that comes, and we recognize that that's God prompting someone to do something lovely for us and recognize him in it. In circumstances, we sometimes call them coincidences, and then we think, why did that happen just like that? Why did they do that? And we may see that this is God in that other person's life. But the more we know him, the more we recognize him in all these different situations. And that little prompt sometimes in our minds, go and do something. We're more likely to do it if we know it is a prompt from him and not just some strange aberration of our own minds. But the more we know him, the more we will recognize him. Because he's our friend. He wants to be part of every day of our lives. And there's no shortcut to friendship. It takes time, it takes perseverance. Sometimes it's difficult. I met on Thursday for lunch with six friends I started grammar school with 66 years ago. It hardly seems possible, but it's true. And that's taken a lot of perseverance to keep those friendships going. I travel 2 hours on the train there and 2 hours back to go and do it, but it's become very important. And we know each other pretty well now, after 66 years. There's no shortcut. We need to just make sure that we go on and on, putting in time, to make this friendship with Jesus real. So let's make Advent that time to make this friendship with him deeper. But our readings tell us of Jesus coming to us in a different way. They don't make comfortable reading, do they? And I don't really know quite what to make of them. And so I mean, that was partly my prayer. Let's hang on to the things we do know for sure, and the things we can't be sure of. And Jesus said he didn't know about that hour, and neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. We can waste an awful lot of time and worry over some things that need, maybe if you disagree with me, tell me afterwards over coffee, but to leave some of these things with God and say, I know this and I know this, but I'm not sure about that. And I find one of the things that helps me in this is to belong to a home group. A home group where I know that I can be honest, I can share my doubts, my fears, my problems, and know that I won't be judged. I'll be accepted as I am. And other people can share theirs. And in that way, I think we can learn so much more about God by discussing these difficult things with other people. He wants our meeting with him to be a joyful occasion. He's done everything possible to make it a joyful occasion. He came in the first place to be with us, to tell us that he loves us. He came vulnerable as a tiny baby. He submitted himself to us and all the things that we did to him. He went to the cross and suffered that for us. Went to the grave. And I like another picture. I like to picture him taking all that sin that he'd suffered for us on the cross, he bore for us on the cross, to the grave. But he rose again and he left it there. He left the consequences of our sin there so that we can live in freedom with him. It is joyful. It should be very joyful. But, and we always have our buts, the doubts do creep in, and that's where sharing with other people is so important. Don't ever be afraid to tell someone you don't believe something or you doubt something, because only by voicing it and expressing it, owning it, will we get beyond it. And in that way, we help each other. So we hang on to the things that we do know. We own the things we don't know, and maybe we leave them with God, maybe we share them with friends, but we hang on to the things that we do know. I read this the other day in a novel I've been reading. Forbear to ask what tomorrow may bring. If you spend your whole life waiting for the storm, you'll never enjoy the sunshine. The Christian life ought to be full of a lot of sunshine. I know the storms come, and many of us here today are going through terrible storms at the moment. But if we only focus on those, then we won't enjoy the sunshine. Let me just read you another little bit from this. It's very good. Do take one. Christmas Day is a day of celebration. God is with us. In the mess, in the muddle, as well as the wonder and the joy, you're loved. You belong. Whoever you are, whatever your situation, God is with you. And I want to finish. See, preachers can be very indulgent. They can do all their favorite things. And a lot of you know I like poetry, and I'm going to finish with one of my favorite poems. It's by someone we knew in Leicester, and she used to write. She was quite a published poet, and she used to run a little Christian arts group that we went to. And anyway, this is her poem. And that will be heaven. Thinking about knowing and being known. Knowing Christ and being known by him. And that will be heaven. And that will be heaven at last, the first unclouded seeing. To stand like the sunflower, turned full face to the sun, drenched in light, in the still center, held, while the circling planets hum with an utter joy, seeing and knowing, at last in every particle seen and known, and not turning away, never turning away again. Amen.